First Peter chapter number 4, look at verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. How many believe that? I'm telling you what. You know what? I'm glad Peter believed it. You say, well, he was wrong. Yeah, but I'm glad he believed it. You say, Brother Jerry, you might be wrong. Yeah, but you ought to be glad I believe it. You know, I think the most effective Christians are the ones that believe that Jesus Christ hands on the door handle. I think the most effective Christians in the world are the ones that really believe that Michael's tuning up the trumpet. I think every day we ought to live in anticipation of the coming of Christ, convinced that it could be today. So let's move on. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Notice the word in verse 9, hospitality. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Those two verses are hugely important in a church. Verse 9 and 10, use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, mark that, because we're going to come back to that. But go to 1 Thessalonians, if you will. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse number 26. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 26. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would please speak to our hearts, Lord, and I pray that you'd help me as we prepare the class for the future. Lord, I thank you for the opportunities that lay ahead. I thank you for what we've been allowed to accomplish, Lord, and how you've guided and helped and provided and Lord, in the past 3 years, I pray, Lord, as we have laid some groundwork and set the stage, I pray that you would, Lord, bless in the weeks and months to come. Lord, it's exciting to be in the work of the ministry. It's exciting to be a part of a growing church. It's exciting to be a part of a church, Lord, that preaches the gospel and sees people saved. And Lord, of course, there's always ways we can be more effective. We want to be more effective. And we ask, Lord, that you'd guide us and help us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to teach on this subject because I want to enlist you as a class in the help of this. I'm going to teach on this subject, turning fringe, and I'm going to probably teach on this for several weeks, turning fringe attendees into core members. Turning fringe attendees into core members. What I'm saying here is this. There's going to be people that come casually and occasionally to the house of the Lord. And you know what? Don't begrudge them that. Be glad of that. Be glad that, I mean, there's a lot of them that won't make that effort. Amen? But I believe that our job, notice I said our job as an assembly is to help transition them from being fringe attendees into core members. You know what we could call this? Growth in grace. Growth in grace. Some of you can look back at times of your life when you were a fringe attendee. Amen. Amen. That's all right. Some of you can look back at times when you were a fringe attendee and times when you were a non-attendee. And hopefully now you're at a place in your life where you say, Brother Jerry, I'm starting to get solid again. Or I've been solid for some time. Good. But I think in some ways it's good that we've made the journey. Mm-hmm. Remember when you first started walking to a church and you hadn't gone maybe in years or maybe not much at all? And I wonder if there weren't some key things that were done or said in your life that helped you to strengthen what God was already doing in your heart and strengthen your resolve to be faithful to the house of God. Folks, I think one of the things that we have to understand as an assembly is that everybody's in a process of the growth of grace. If you're saved, you're in the process. People get saved from all kinds of different backgrounds. People get saved, listen to me what I'm going to say next, with all different levels of character training and character development. That's big in this day and age. Let me say that again. That's big in this day and age. You went won somebody back in the 50s and 60s, and for the most part, there were some core things that were taught in their upbringing. People transitioned quicker. There's a lot of young people now that's being raised, and I'm talking about people that are in their 20s and 30s have been raised, and what we would have assumed everyone would have solid in their lives 40, 50 years ago, not only do they not have it solid in their lives, some of them don't even know what you're talking about. Let me say this, folks. Discipleship is harder because Satan has had a big, big influence in American society. As Brother Williams said, and I mentioned this from time to time, but he mentioned that we are in our post, that this country is in its post-Christian era. We better understand that. Folks, even in the quote-unquote Bible belt and conservative Midwest, it's amazing the falling away that's occurred from just the basic principles and tenets of the Word of God. Children are being raised. I'm talking about 18 years in a home and never hear a Bible verse and never walk in a church house and never have some of the core moral foundations laid in their lives, just the basics of right and wrong. Everything is, humanism. Humanism's got a hold. And it's, you know what, every man does what is right in his own eyes, and that's what they're taught in the public school system, and it is. It's undeniable. You know, just accept everybody. What's wrong for you might not be wrong for them, and you've got to respect that. What's right for you might not be right for them. You've got to respect that. In other words, what they're saying is there's no absolutes. Well, I got a whole book of absolutes right here. And God has a right to give us some absolutes. And so you've got to understand what we're facing. And yeah, I think as a congregation, we have to understand that. We have to understand that people that come in or coming into the church, a lot of times they come from all kinds of backgrounds and a lot of times things that are completely out of their control. They didn't choose some things. Now, having said all of that, I want to talk to you about our responsibilities. Let me just kind of give you a quick, and I'm not going to give you much detail yet because we're still working through the process. But Brother Charles and Sister Ruth here sitting in here, and it probably seems strange, doesn't it? For 35 years in some capacity or another, some class age or another, Brother Charles has taught Sunday school at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. He snuck up on me and turned 75 the other day, and I just kind of stunned about that. Sister Ruthie, faithfully serving by his side, and approached me and said that they were at a point in time where they needed to step away. And I don't think anybody in here would begrudge them that one bit. Thankful for your years of service. Now, we've got a Sunday school class. Have you just seen those third and fourth graders? Did you see somebody in here? That's not a class. That's a community. You know, that's who they've dealt with all these years back in that classroom back there. We're taking this opportunity to go ahead and split the class. And I'm telling you this for a reason. I'm going to let you know what's going on, but I'm also telling you this for a reason. You know, a class grows in our young people, and we break it in two. And it helps Sunday school teachers be able to keep up on the kids easier. It's a more personal one-on-one. It gives another teacher an opportunity to serve. Hopefully, it'd be great if those two classes would grow and there'd be a day where I'd have to say, you know what, we're going to have a third grade girls class and a fourth grade girls class and a third grade fourth class, fourth grade girls class. Whew. And I'm only going to try to say the next one. I'm afraid I'm going to cuss. Fourth grade boys class. And wow, wouldn't that be neat that the class that they labored in, they may be able to see in the upcoming years become four classes. And we'd all rejoice in that. And you know what? That's kind of God's plan. I taught here a year ago last summer a lesson on our Wednesday night service called Multiplying by Dividing. And we're going to look at that. We've laid groundwork for that. We've taught that. I don't think I have to sell anybody on that idea in principle. But the same is true. You know, we can keep splitting children's classes, going after giving a teacher, tell them to build that class, split it, And you know what you end up with? Thank God what we have. A lot of kids around here. But you know what? We're not commanded in the Bible just to reach children or just to reach teenagers. We're commanded to reach every creature. And the same philosophy, the proven philosophy, the proven practice of building a church through the Sunday school. And I still believe that. I still believe that with all my heart. God wants the church built. And I believe the church can be built. A strong church can be built through a strong Sunday school. And so this is what we're going to be doing in the next few months here. We're going to begin to start other adult Sunday school classes. And again, I'm not going to lay all the groundwork for you, although I will be introducing those ideas soon so you can begin to look and decide. For the most part, and it's going to be a voluntary thing. You're going to be given opportunities. You can decide where you need to go or want to go, and that would be fine. But we're going to be doing those things. Now, here's the deal. I want to spend some time teaching you the importance. Listen, let's say we took 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 of you, and I gave you a teacher, and I said, we're going to start a new adult class. And that teacher says, man, let's get together and let's pray and let's ask God in the next 6 months to double our class. And if you're doubling an adult class, folks, that means you're doubling the adults that's being reached. Are you listening? That means you're doubling the adults that's being reached. Now, if every class, imagine this, if we broke the classes into 3 or 4 adult Sunday school classes, and in the next year or 18 months, every class doubled in attendance. You know what we would have? We would have twice as many adults attending Blessed Hope Baptist Church for Sunday school than you have sitting right here in the auditorium this morning. Now look around again. That'd be pretty neat, wouldn't it? That'd be awesome. Now, let me give you this also, and I hope you don't misinterpret this. I don't believe that one age group's more important than another. I think God wants us to reach everybody. But there is something that I call core strength growth. You know, you can just keep putting buses on the road and keep reaching bus kids, but the honest truth is, I seriously doubt that most of those kids that walk in on the buses brought tithing envelopes. Can I just talk to you about the reality of it? That doesn't make them any less important. I don't care if people come, whether they give anything or not. But you know what? Our ministries and our church growth and our ability to reach out and win people to Christ is dependent upon people who will tithe. You know, you say, well, bless God, I'm for the bus ministry. Okay, try to run a bus ministry with no tithers in the church. I mean, every ministry's growth is dependent on the number of people that will come and support. I mean, when I filled up my tank yesterday, it was $3.54 a gallon. And that's the same kind of fuel we got to put in these buses. Some of them a lot more than that. Our diesel bus, a lot more than that. And so what I'm saying is this. If a church is going to continue to grow and have the ability to reach more and more children, more and more people, more and more teens, then we've got to keep pace and grow in our adult segment also. Does that all make sense to you? Okay, I hope I'm not saying this in such a way that would cause any of you to think that I'm valuing somebody that comes and gives money against somebody that comes and can't. If you know Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you know that's not true. You point to any church anywhere within 3 counties that we are that run more buses than we do and bring more people in and care more about that group of people. So, but what I'm saying is, let's reach the middle class too. Amen? Let's reach the blue collar worker too. Let's reach the lawyer and the doctors too. Let's try to reach every class of people for Jesus Christ, not just go to the poverty areas and say, well, we're just going to be about reaching just this one group of people. And so that's the idea, and that's the direction we're going. And I want you to enter into it with that spirit. So many times, what we fall into as Christians, please listen very carefully to what I'm going to say here, is that we lose sight of the fact that the church is not just there to serve us, but we're to serve in our church. Too many decisions or ministries that are started or changes that are made in the church are judged by some members solely on one basis. Well, what does this do for me? Or is this what I want? Instead of, is this going to reach the maximum number of people for Jesus Christ? And so I think what we've got to do, and we need to do, is ask the Lord to give us that heart where, Lord, you know, let's do some things here. And if I am going into this class, I'm not just going into this class because of what I can get, even though I think you'll get things, but from what I can give, not just to be there as a core member who sits there, but to be there as a core member who looks for fringe attendees and knows and has the maturity to help them, to help acclimate them into our Sunday school class, thus acclimating them into our Sunday morning service, and working alongside the pastor to disciple them so that one of these days they'll be Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, serving, soul-winning Christians. I think that's what this book's pretty much all about. And so then they'll be in the place where they can do the same thing over and over. Now, let me just give you this, and there's several things I want to do to just kind of lay groundwork and teach you some things. We've talked about in our past, and sometimes I think I've shared this from the pulpit, and I think one time I gave you a paperwork that you could take home and look at, but we have a very definite philosophy, a Bible-based philosophy for discipling our young people, and we call it the pyramid philosophy. And what that is if you've ever seen us do that diagram, it is at the bottom of the pyramid, of course, if you've got a pyramid like this and you slice it in three parts, the largest square area is in the bottom. And then the second largest is in the middle and the smallest is in the top. Can I tell you something? That's exactly how discipleship works. Our Sunday school ministry is the key part, or one of the key parts, of the lowest level. This is where we try to reach the masses for Jesus Christ. Our Sunday school services, boy, we go out, we compel them to come in, we want them to come in. No matter where you're at in life, no matter saved, lost, no matter where you're at in the growth, just come, let God do something in your heart, listen to the Bible preached. Just give God a chance in your life. And thank God, I love just walking around here on Sunday morning. You probably see it on my face, but one of the most delightful times, I call it blessed confusion, is when the buses are loading, and about the time they finally get the kids funneled in here, Pastor breaks them out again, and kids are, tripping and falling, and they're saying hi, preacher, and there's a big traffic jam in the back, and all these classes are running over each other. And you know what I say? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everybody that walked in the door today is a gift to this church from Almighty God. Every one of them is a sacred opportunity. I hope every Sunday school, I think we do. I think we got Sunday school teachers that believe that. I hope every Sunday school teacher really believes that. I hope they really believe that. That when they walk in their class, they look around and understand that God has gifted them with an opportunity to touch some young lives. And exciting. And so this is what we did. We reached the masses. And why do you want to reach the masses? So we can preach the gospel and see folks saved. So we can see them begin to be grounded in the basics of the Christian life. So we can feed them, give them some sincere milk of the word, so we can just get them started on the path, you know. But wait, there's too many churches, that's all they do, and that's wrong. I said that's all they do, and that's wrong. You know, when Jesus was here on earth, he did reach the masses, and he preached to the masses. And boy, there were times when he preached in the open air, and multitudes, thousands came to hear him preach. And he cared. Listen, if you have ever seen a map and just followed Jesus where he traveled in the three-year ministry, you would look and say, you know what? Jesus tried to reach as many people as he could in the short time he had on this earth. But. Jesus also understood the importance of discipleship. And even though he did preach to the masses, he spent a lot of time discipling those who would be discipled. And I think if we're not careful, I think the real problem, there's a lot of problems. One of the problems with the new wave philosophy of church growth and all of this is that, I mean, folks, they're dairy farms. All they do is just, there's only one thing on the menu, milk. If you can find milk. A lot of times it's poisoned, but milk. I mean, you know what? The sincerest group, I'm not going to try to put everybody in one pile, but I'm talking about the sincerest pastor and the sincerest group with that philosophy, at best, are just seeing people saved and leaving Christians baby. And God never intended that to happen. We have a responsibility here at Blessed Baptist Church to disciple people up. Now, what we do is we reach our children through our Sunday school and our church services. But you know what? Then we try to get them to disciple up into our master's clubs and our youth group. And then we try to get them to disciple up into our Christian school. And our Christian school is the premier discipleship program here at Blessed Baptist Church for our young people. It's the premier discipleship program. That's our philosophy. Now, I'm not gonna say any more about that, but let me say this. We also, I think you probably figured out, don't just have a philosophy for reaching children that way, but since it's a Bible philosophy, that's how we ought to reach adults also. Our Sunday school is where we're going to try to reach out highways, hedges, compel them to come in, get them in the door. I don't care what baggage they carry. I don't care where their lives are. I don't care. Listen, I if a guy has hair down to here, praise the Lord, get him into Sunday school. Honestly, I don't care what background they have. I don't care anything. Just get them in here and let us give the Word of God and let God deal with their hearts and let's try to see some folks saved, okay? And then, but you know what? The honest truth is, and I'm not going to get into this because I'm going to talk about our Sunday school hour deeply, but the honest truth is, if we just get them here for Sunday school, we just get them here for church, and we're not together in the process of trying to disciple them to a higher level of growth, then we're not doing what the Bible says to do. So I want to enlist your help in that, and that's why I'm going to take some time to teach on turning fringe attendees into core members. Now, Brother Jerry, this is something you should teach the Sunday school teachers. No, this is something I should teach the Sunday school class members. Amen. It's as much your responsibility to help to turn people into fringe attenders from being fringe attenders to core members as it is my responsibility or a Sunday school teacher's responsibility or anybody's responsibility. I want you to believe that. You know, the verses that we read concerning hospitality was not written to preachers. It was written to the church. The verse that Paul wrote, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss, that wasn't written to preachers. That wasn't out of 1 Timothy and Titus. That was in 1 Thessalonians. And I want to examine that verse a little bit as we get on down here. Now, let me just say this to each and every one of you, and then I'm going to leave this thought alone. I don't want you to stay. If you're right here in the Sunday school and church, I love that you're here, but can I tell you this just right up front? As your pastor, I want to lead you higher up the pyramid. I want to lead you higher up the pyramid. I heard Jeff Huguet say something once when I was listening to a tape, and I loved it. And I thought, boy, I'm just glad to hear somebody say it in a concise way so that I could get it, because that's right. He got up in the pulpit, and I was listening to a sermon tape, and he was preaching on a Sunday morning to the masses crowd, okay? And he said, I want you to know, if you're saved, if you come to our church and you hear the gospel and you get saved, or if you come here and you're already saved but you want to join this church, he said, let me tell you two things that you need to know. He said, number one, we'll accept you just the way you are. We'll accept you just the way you are, where you are. And he said, number two, if you're happy and satisfied being where you are, you're not going to be happy here at this church. Because I have a responsibility to lead you as a pastor to higher ground. Now, that's not just good for new converts. That's good for some of us folks who have been saved a while. Have you reached that satisfied place? Have you come in here and joined Blessed Hope Baptist Church and basically sit there and say, okay, I'm here and I'm a member, but don't try to budge me? Can I tell you something? You're not going to be a happy member, because my job is to budge you. I'm going to shock some of you, but you haven't arrived. I don't know what rose-colored glasses you got on when you're looking in the mirror, but everybody in here, including the man standing behind this pulpit, has a long way yet to go. And so the members that I tend to irritate are the ones that don't want to be moved. Yes. Honestly, I'm going to be a source of irritation to you. You know why? Because my job is to challenge you to go higher, to go further, to go deeper. You know, and that's it. If a preacher's not doing that from the pulpit, he's delinquent his responsibilities. And so be very careful that you don't get settled in. Because there's a lot more that God wants you to learn, and a lot more growth He wants you to experience, and a lot more things He wants to use you to do. You see, I'm not trying to get you to move just so I can have a battle with you. I'm wanting you to move because some of you, where you're at, are limited on how God can use you. Amen. Amen. Let me show you some verses here. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And I want to get this across to y'all because we've got to start with us. Judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. Well, I want to reach the world. Well, let's make sure that we're right. What I'm going to do is spend some time preparing us for what we're going to do. And I believe that you can reach fringe attendees if you have strong core members. I believe this. I had the same philosophy when I was a youth pastor here. You know what? If I get a core group of solid, sold-out teens, I can reach a lot of fringe kids. But if I don't have that, all I'll do is spend my time babysitting the core. That's just the way it is. I'm telling you, that's the way it is. So it's important that all of us realize there's still ground to be won. There's still more we can do. And God wants to use some of you. There's going to be growing opportunities. There already is. I spent almost all of Wednesday afternoon praying and going over the church membership list. Let me say this. As we expand, as we increase opportunities of service, I need you to have grown to the point where I can put you somewhere and use you. And know that inside this church and outside this church, you're going to have the right testimony. Now, I'm going to show you that that's important. Well, brother, I'm just surrendered. I'm surrendered. I want God to use me. I'm just surrendered. I want God to use me. And I'm ready, so use me. All right, let's look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, that's me. I'm ready. Wait a minute. What's the next word? Holy. What's the next phrase? Acceptable unto God. What's the next phrase? Which is your reasonable service. You know what? There's a reason we have Sunday school teacher qualifications. There's a reason we have platform qualifications. You can criticize it. Other churches can criticize it. But you know what? There's a reason. There's a reason that if you're going to stand up in front of a group of children with an open Bible, there ought to be some basic things squared away in your life. It's not some stinking game. Those kids and their futures at stake, those kids you teach on Sunday morning will see you at Walmart on Thursday. Isn't a game so that you can feel good about yourself? This is dead serious. This is whether a kid gets disillusioned, stumbles or not, quits church or not. This isn't a game. Amen. So we need to be discipled up. Why? So we can be plugged in. Now, I said, Brother Jerry, you got more verses? I've got a whole book of these kind of verses. I mean, just hang around here. But let's go to James. I mean, if there's anything, folks, the New Testament, the vast majority of the New Testament is not the gospel of Jesus Christ written to reach lost sinners. The vast majority of the New Testament is verses written and commands and precepts written to born-again Christians to encourage them to grow in grace and to lay aside some things and be some things for God so that God can use them to their maximum potential. That's the way it is. And you know what? God has every right to expect that. Bible said, which is your reasonable service? Excuse me, but if you got this attitude, well, I am what I am, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I'm going to dress the way I want to dress, and I'm going to go where I want to go, and you know what? If that's not good enough, then I'll go find some other church. You know, shame on you. What a wicked, wicked, wicked attitude. What a wicked way to look at life. You stomped over so many scriptures with that attitude. Shame on you. If you're sitting there feeling like that, I'd just go ahead and get to the altar now. I mean, you need to get right with God. This isn't a game. We don't have a right to look at God and say, God, I'm giving you the qualifications and you just need to accept them. God has a right to look at you and say, hey, here's the qualifications. Get on board. Amen. Now, let me take you to James chapter number 3. Now, I'm giving you this because, listen, folks, you know what? You know who helps fringe attenders become core members? Core members do. Separated members do. Holy, acceptable unto God members do. Bodies of living sacrifice members do. You can't disciple somebody to a place you're not yet at yourself. This is good for us. Now, we've got to have a core structure. Listen, did I say everybody's welcome? Absolutely. Did I say I just bring them in the door? Did I? Absolutely. But listen to me. If we're satisfied with a mixed multitude mentality, something's wrong with us. We're supposed to be discipling, winning people to Christ, and discipling them to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you this. James chapter 3, verse number 1. This is very, very important, and I think it's a great thing to think of. I'm talking about, by the way, if you're following this, without me going into detail, because there's some things I'll teach and some things I'll let the Holy Spirit teach. But when I said a minute ago there's a pyramid for adults too, let me tell you something. If I hadn't been willing to grow in grace, lay some things aside, dedicate and sanctify some things in my life, God would have never called me to preach and never let me stand where I'm standing. Well, why is that an amen, but you're not an amen? It's just the same with you. There's certain limitations you're going to put on what God can use you for if you get stubborn in some areas of your life. I mean, yeah, God's going to give you a free will. He may let you just go ahead and do something. He may spank the fire out of you too. But He may go ahead and let you do something, but that's not going to ready you for service. Now look at James chapter number 3 and verse 1. Notice this. My brother, we're talking to Christians here. It says this, be not, this is kind of an unusual phrase, so I'm going to explain it to you. Be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. My brethren, Christians, that's everybody that's saved here, that's the Sunday school masses. Be not many masters. That word masters comes from the word instructor or teachers or doctors. Somebody that's in a teaching position. You know what the Bible said? It said, listen here, you be careful. Be not many masters. In other words, what the instruction is you be careful who you put in a teaching position. You be careful desiring a teaching position. That's what it's saying there. You know why? Because it says this, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Greater condemnation, that word condemnation means judgment. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. If a member walks in front to the, one of these days we're all going to have the judgment seat of Christ, okay? You walk in the judgment seat of Christ as a Sunday school teacher, having stood before people with a Bible open, there is going to be a higher level of judgment. There's going to be a higher level of judgment while you're here on earth, because people are going to expect more from you, and there's going to be a higher level of judgment when you stand before Jesus Christ. Can I say this thing again? This isn't a game. If you're a man and you want to teach, the honest truth is, you need to get your life in order and you need to get your family's life in order. And you know what? You say, Brother Jerry, it could take a while, and it's going to take a while because we all grow and there's nothing wrong with that. But you know what? Don't pout. Sorry. Because I'm going to stand before God with a higher level of judgment than y'all are. And what happens or didn't happen at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you're not going to answer for it. Or at least while on the time that it was my watch, I'm going to answer for it. I'm going to answer from July 2005 till present, and however long I'm here, God's going to say, okay, son, I put you as the under-shepherd. What did you let go on? What you didn't let go on? What standard was set? What standard was let go? Who were you afraid to make mad and worry more about what some man thought, or did you worry more about what I thought? And by the way, if you know, don't criticize it if you've never been here. A lot of very, very talented Monday morning quarterbacks in Blessed Oak Baptist Church. I mean, boy, I'm telling you what, Sunday dinner, you can make all the calls, but you've never spent 1 second in this position. And let me just say this. I'm much, much more worried about what God's going to say one of these days than what you say or don't say right now. As long as I stay there, I'm going to stay in a safe place. Okay? And so what I'm saying is this. You know, you can't have it both ways. Sorry. Here's an announcement. You can't have it both ways. Well, I'm going to be carnal. Well, guess what? We don't have positions open for carnal Sunday school teachers. Sorry. Sorry. Whoops. You know, I'm going to be worldly. Well, God bless you. Amen. You know, make your choices. You know, you're adults. But no. No. I want a Sunday school teacher standing behind a desk talking about what Hollywood movie they went to the theater and watched that Friday night. Want them in a class talking about their favorite contemporary Christian rock group? Do I want these kids to see the Sunday school teacher around town looking anything other than a godly, separated Christian? No. Now, I think it would be a good thing if we just decided that these little kids and their lives were more important than our little stubborn list of things we do or don't want to do. It's not right. Now, what I'm saying is this. We need to help people that are fringe attendees grow in grace. But you're going to limit how much help you can be by how far you're willing to grow yourself. And that's the opening message. I've got 3 minutes left. I can't go any deeper. But that's the opening message of this series I'm going to teach is this. If we want our Sunday school to grow and we want to reach new adults for Jesus Christ, then we personally have to be willing to grow. We personally have to get rid of a selfish outlook on the ministries of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We got to stop walking in with, okay, well, what can everybody do for me instead of what can I do for somebody else? Somebody's got to care. Somebody's got to sacrifice. Somebody's going to say, all right, Lord, Romans 12, 1 and 2 is inspired. I'm going to present my body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And that is my reasonable service. And I'm not going to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Why? So I can start finding that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Folks, listen, and I'm done. What's so frustrating to me is people think it's a battle over my list versus your list. It's not. It's a battle over whether you find the will of God and ever accomplish it or not. There's folks that are so fixated on a handful of carnal mindsets and worldly practices, and they are not going to give them up. But what you are trading is an opportunity to do and find and complete the will of God for your life. And there is going to be a judgment day. We'll stand there one of these days, and God said, you know why I created? Let me tell you why I created you and what my will was for you to accomplish. And I think so many Christians are going to say, God wanted me to do that and be that and reach those people, but I never would get past this. And I lived and breathed and died, and I'm standing before God, and teens that I could have reached, and children that I could have reached, and families that I could have reached, and adults I could have reached. Guess what? Didn't get it done. You know why? Because I wasn't going to give up, and you fill in the blank. Well, what I decided a long time ago was this. Whatever God writes in that blank, it's gone. Because there's nothing more important than being used of God. There's nothing more important than the will of God. I don't want anything in my life that would limit God from being able to use me in any capacity He wants to use me. So all He's got to do is whisper it, and it's gone. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's right, whether it's wrong. You know, God sometimes asks you to give up things that aren't sin. Shocking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, if you've got 14 hobbies, something tells me you're not going to have time to be a bus captain. Not one of them hobbies may be a sin, but God might say, hey, why don't you take it down to 4 and take some of that time and give it to my service. Are you getting this? I'll say it again. God will ask you sometimes to sacrifice and give up things that aren't sinful, but they are just occupying too much of your heart and too much of your time, and He wants that part of your heart and He wants that block of time. And so, what I want to do in the next few months is when we start some of these adult classes, I'd like to send y'all that are already here into those classes with the mentality of, you know what, I'm going to spend these next few months getting my life right so that I can be a blessing to a Sunday school teacher and a blessing to a Sunday school class, and be the kind of a Sunday school member that a teacher can build, and that I can help build a class for Jesus Christ. Oh, enough said. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, so much for Your patience with us. And Lord, I hope that is certainly conveyed here also. Lord, wherever we're at, help us to be willing to take the next step. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be willing to sacrifice things for You so that we can reach all that we can reach and should reach for Jesus Christ. Bless the hour that will follow, Lord. The message will be preached. Lord, may it impact the lives of those here. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much.